Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
Okay, it's time to do Relationship Therapy, and I think we're going to keep it fairly clean and do a more relationshipy one than a sex one, but, you know, so there mightn't be any talk of lube or masturbation, but you never know with Rachel Cook. I'm just going to warn you now. But I do want to talk about love and finding love and ask the question, are we looking for love in all the wrong places? We're going to ask what you want in a partner, comparing it to what you actually need in a partner. I haven't a clue. Obviously, I don't know these things, but our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, she knows everything and she is on the line. Good morning.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And I like that introduction.
You managed to get lube in. You wedge it in. Pardon the pun. You get it in, like, you know, somewhere, everywhere.
Lob it in there.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, let's talk about this because this is an interesting one. Yeah. What do people tend to think is important in a partner?
Yeah. Okay. So the main things that people come to me and think that are important in a partner tend to be looks.
Yeah,
having fun, a strong sense of loving each other. Career and money are important to some people. And then the other ones are kind of sexual chemistry and intense romantic sparks. So they're often the things that people think are going to be most important in a partner.
Okay. And how true and necessary are those in your experience?
I mean, I would say it's not that they have no value whatsoever, but obviously it's important for a lot of people to feel sexually attracted to their partner. But as we all know, looks change and, you know, some would say fade, depends on the person. And, you know, you're not going to feel in love with your partner all the time, especially when you're past the honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people do feel a kind of deep-seated contentment with their partner for, you know, potentially decades, but it's also very likely that you're sometimes going to really dislike them or even feel like you hate them. And so, you know, that also has to be recognized. The career and money one is an interesting one because, you know, we're kind of changing roles these days and, you know, switching them up and kind of redefining what it means to have, you know, a kind of stable life and independence and all of that. So I would say it's probably not a great idea to rely on your partner having an amazing career and money because, you know, there might be a lot of trade-off and sacrifice and potentially kind of messed up power dynamics in that as well.
Okay.
So that's not really something to value, but that's not to say that you can't value stability and someone who, you know, is going to have a job, for instance.
So what
and
tends...
then the sexual chemistry. The sexual chemistry is the last one, Jen. You know,
go
it's
on.
Like, of course you're going to want someone who almost everyone wants someone they can have sex with and that they really enjoy that and find it exciting and that they feel, you know, sometimes that kind of transcendent sense of being one and being really connected. And also you're going to find in a long-term relationship that has ebbs and flows.
It's not consistent.
Likely.
The
no.
same. Absolutely. Okay, so what tends to really matter? What
yeah.
should we be looking for?
The things that are really important are generally things like open communication, a partner who actively listens and values your feelings and perspectives, you know, someone with emotional intelligence, someone who respects your boundaries. You know, it's also really important to have shared values and goals for the relationship, because no matter how much you love each other, how much fun you have, how much great sex you're having, if one of you massively wants kids and the other one doesn't, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting that kind of compatible outlook on life, which sometimes takes time to figure out, depending on the age you're at and kind of life stage. And also that can shift over time. So there's also no guarantees. You might both feel sure that you don't want kids when you're 25. And then one of you might be absolutely positive at 35 or 40 that you damn well want a kid. Mm. So, you know, that's something that you can't necessarily prepare for. But what you can be doing is having conversations about that early on and ongoing. You know, the other things that really matter are enjoying each other, you know, because people will often say, oh, well, the thing you need to be able to do is to manage conflict well. And yeah, that's really important. You need to have reasonably compatible and like healthy conflict styles. But you also need to have a great time when you're, you know, things are just kind of easy and reasonably good between you, because if you're not really enjoying each other, which of course doesn't have to be all the time, but it needs to be quite a lot, because otherwise, well, you could just be enjoying your time on your own or mm-hmm. with someone else.
So, and there, is it time to call it a day if you do a bit of a Marie Kondo on it and just squeeze your partner and go, no, that doesn't bring me joy anymore, and then just get rid of it? Is that how we know?
You're probably best, you know, depending on what your situation is, if you've got no kind of shared responsibilities and commitments, then yeah, maybe you can just quite easily go, yeah, not for me, and as kindly and compassionately as possible, end that relationship. But if it is a bit more difficult to extricate yourself, or you just simply, you know, want to put more effort in, there's loads of things that you can do to see if you can find the joy with each other, whether that's through, you know, having more specialized time together, mm-hmm. you know, having, you know, kind of date nights, having a hobby together, checking, you know, what it is in the rest of your life that might be bleeding into your romantic relationship. You know, is it because you've loads of family drama? Is it because you're actually lonely and don't have enough friendships? Is it because you don't have any hobbies and so you're actually just bored and taking it out on your partner? Or is it, you know, that you've loads of kind of health stuff that you maybe haven't been attending yeah. to because you're frightened about it, but it means that you're displacing your kind of fear and dissatisfaction onto your partner. So those are things to be aware of. Okay. You know, another thing is like emotional safety and the capacity to be vulnerable in a relationship. You're not necessarily going to always feel completely safe and comfortable with your partner, particularly if you're having hard conversations, which could be about, you know, anything really, but whether it's the division of kind of household chores, whether it's about how to parent, whether it's about your differing sex, you know, drives, yeah. things like that. But you need to basically feel safe and comfortable with that person. Otherwise, you know, if you find that they're really blowing hot and cold, you don't know where you stand, they're not transparent, you know, you don't feel able to be honest with them, you're just going to be in constant stress and struggle throughout that relationship. So you really do need people who are going to have the capacity to negotiate, and also that there's reciprocity, you know, give and take in the relationship, because far too often relationships end up being massively lopsided, with one person doing a huge amount of the physical and emotional labor in the relationship and the other person doing sweet F all. So that's another one to be aware of.
Can we talk about star signs? Because I have a friend who will only yeah. date a certain star sign, and I think it's bonkers, but can that be a thing?
So I'm not someone who massively aligns with horoscopes and star signs. However, I do think that it is a framework that for some people really works quite well. But I think you have to take it, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily with a pinch of salt. You just have to base it in reality. You know, just because someone was born at a certain time, and I know there'll be probably people coming at me for this, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can really break down that person's personality and disposition. You know, no matter what someone's star sign is, even if it's so obvious that they're a Scorpio or a Capricorn or whatever to you, you know, that still doesn't take into account their actual kind of family background, their place in their family, experiences they've had, the culture yeah. that they grew up in, you know, the kind of temperament that they have. You might have some idea about it, but I don't think it's a great idea to base a huge amount of your life choices on someone's star sign when there are so many variables in any person and any dynamic.
So what are some questions you can ask yourself to find out more about what's important to you in a yeah. relationship?
Oh, some things you can ask are like literally, what are the most important qualities or traits that I want in a partner? Why do I want those things? What qualities and traits have I found, you know, generative, supportive, enjoyable in partners in the past? Which ones have I not found, you know, kind of supportive and enjoyable? You know, you're never going to find someone who's completely perfect, but it can be good to know that you have your sort of deal breakers and, you know, what your kind of boundaries are around your sort of non-negotiables. That can be really important. Then there's things like, how important is gender, particular body parts, and monogamy or non-monogamy to me? You know, we're having, you know, much more kind of fluid ideas about these things now in terms of gender, sexuality, and relationship diversity. So, you know, you might not know the answers to some of those things. You might be willing to explore, but that can be good to know early on, you know, how negotiable or non-negotiable those things seem to be. And then things like, what communication style do you need in a partner in order to feel mm-hmm. understood and valued? Bearing in mind, you're not going to feel understood and validated and accepted by your partner 100% of the time, because it's just not possible with two different people. But, you know, you can have a good idea of those things like conflict style, general communication style, even your love languages, which, again, I don't think is something to base a whole relationship on, but kind of going, what are the love languages that are important to me? One of which is not included in the original five love languages is space. You know, space is really important in most relationships. You know, you can be living in each other's pockets for the first 6 months or a few years, or particularly if you've got young children. But ultimately, you're going to need to be able to have some space and have your own independent lives as well. So other questions you might have are, how do you want, what do you want in terms of intimacy? That can be emotional, sexual, physical in a romantic relationship. What level of independence and interdependence are you comfortable with? What kind of support do you need from a partner? And what's that going to look like in terms, you know, in times of stress or disagreement? And then things like, what are your long-term goals and how do you, you know, envision, you know, having a partner or partners alongside that? So those sorts of things can give you an idea of, even if this is not something that you're planning on being long-term, you know, that you can still be very kind of intentional and have a lot of awareness about where your boundaries are and what kind of things are going to bring you the most contentment, joy, you know, emotional safety, those sorts of things in a relationship. And it's a good idea to do it.
It sounds to me, just after everything you've said, yeah. that open communication should be priority. Because if you have that... you know, you can talk about the sexual chemistry and, yeah. and, you know, when you need your space, you're able, if you can communicate properly and openly with that partner, then everything else, well, you know, potentially can fall into place a lot better.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I would say in many ways, communication is up there with lube.
See, I knew you'd get it in. Pardon the pun. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me today. There we go. That is Rachel Cook. She is our psychotherapist, mental health consultant. She's amazing. She's on Instagram if you want to check her out. She's at Rachel Jane Cook with the knee on the end. She is back on Wednesday. Every Wednesday she's here and we're going to talk about fantasies. Yeah, we are. And I'll be back after these.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.